I'm Jack Ryan, and I'm the chairman of the board of commissioners, as we are called. And I'm going to let Tom run this session, but I just want to bring people in with the idea that I'm 100% behind this project. 10 years ago, I joined the board, and my biggest hope was that we could do something to add more reliability to our system. You know, having a single pole line coming down the railroad bed from East Weymouth didn't seem to me to be very reliable. It's worked for 40 years, but that's not the right test. We need more than that. And this is a big step towards solving that problem and giving us a reliable system as we move towards a no carbon environment. Electricity is going to be king. That's all we're going to have. And if we don't have a reliable system, we're out to lunch. So my hope is that this goes through, that it gets built, that it becomes a real bedrock of our infrastructure within the town, and gives us the you know, the stability that we need no matter what, to have power. And it's going to be incredibly important. So Tom, why don't you pick up the ball from here, and I'm just going to be an observer.
Okay.
Actually, my name is Joe Kilsheimer. Thanks, Tom. My name is Joe Kilsheimer. I'm the public involvement coordinator for the Hingham Electrical Infrastructure Reliability Project. And tonight we're going to present this PowerPoint from various members of the project team. Tom Morahan, our general manager, is going to go first. And at the end of the presentation, we'll have time for questions, and I'm going to run the PowerPoint from my screen, and we're going to do our best to make sure that everybody's questions get answered, and that we run this as smoothly as possible. So Tom, take it away.
All right. Thank you, Joel. So the next slide. So tonight we're going to introduce the project. We're going to explain why this 115 transmission line is needed. We're going to discuss how HMLP selected the site for the substation that we selected. We're going to talk about the next steps. We're going to try to answer any questions we can, and we're looking for any feedback that we can obtain during this meeting. So the project team, it's myself at HMLP, Mark Fahey, who is the assistant general manager, and Steve Girardi, who is the engineer. From LIG Consultants, we have Tom Converse. They're our engineering and design group. We have Tracy Adamski from Ty and Bond, our environmental and permitting group. Charlie Salamone from Cape Power Systems is our ISO New England advisor. We have Rob Shapiro and Deirdre Lawrence from Duncan and Allen, our legal and regulatory. And we have Joe from Kilschmeyer's Associates for our communications. So the project, it's a 3.7 mile, 115,000 volt transmission line from Weymouth to a substation at the transfer station in Hingham. And it's primarily to address reliability. The town is currently served from two transmission lines. They run on single towers along the railroad tracks. The double circuit configuration is susceptible to contingency events. So, you know, if we lose one of those lines, chances are we have to take the other line out to make repairs. So the whole town is down while we make those repairs. And God forbid, one of those structures got damaged. the town would lose both lines for quite a long period. The recent storms in October underscore the importance of addressing the vulnerabilities of our system. So the new line, it'll come from Weymouth, or on a right-of-way in Weymouth. It'll go underground and it'll terminate at a new substation at the transfer station, which if you're coming out of the transfer station will be just after the containers on the right-hand side. There's a bit of a hill there that we'll be removing to install the substation. In essence, it's a separate line altogether. It's a completely different line than the two that we have. So that will address the vulnerabilities that we currently have. And it's also going to help us with our climate action plan and the goals to electrify the town of Hingham. So the construction is proposed to begin in late 2024, beginning of 2025. And we would hope to have initial operations sometime at the end of 25 or early 26. Next, Joe.
All right.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, sorry.
It's all right. So this is just a map of the existing system. So we come out of a National Grid substation in East Weymouth. We come along the Greenbush line to French Street, come down French Street and down Hobart into the existing station, which is right in the middle of the transfer station. So addressing system vulnerabilities, the tower failure is associated with the existing line. That can result in, extended outages for Hingham. It God forbid, one of those towers came down. We would be looking at, days of the town being flat until we could get those lines back up. Again, we've seen damage in this last October storm. We had, everyone would know that we had huge trees come down, ripped right out of the ground. And, we didn't have any trouble with the transmission line, knock on wood, but, you can see from the picture, there are trees that are near that line. And we know that some of the other utilities around did have problems with their transmission systems. So, it is a real vulnerability for us. And, it's something that we really need to look at. The other piece is, on occasion, those lines, so we're fed 478, 503, and 508, the two lines that currently feed us. There are times when those lines have to come out for maintenance. So Eversource will take their Eversource lines. They feed out of a National Grid station. So, depending on who's doing the work, those lines can be out from anywhere from, a week to a month at a time, which leaves the whole town of Hingham on one line for that period. And again, if anything happens to that one line, the town is de-energized until we can get either Hingham or more likely National Grid or Eversource can get those lines back up depending on where the problem is. So the just one back there, Joe, for 1 second. So the reliability standards are different today than they were when these lines were built. These lines were built in the mid 80s. In 2013, they upgraded the reliability standards. It was NERC, FERC, and ISO New England worked on upgrading those reliability standards. And today they require the systems to address any vulnerability on a double tower circuit like the ones serving Hingham. So the revised standards are a part of what are driving this project also. We want to meet the standards of of today so we can serve the customers of tomorrow. So this is also the primary need for this project is reliability, but there's also a capacity benefit. So in August of 2018, we saw our all-time peak of 57 megawatts. Additional load, we expect to see at least 5 megawatts of additional load by 2030. And that's just with increase in electrification associated with meeting the climate action plan goals. So we expect people to start converting to electric, to drive electric vehicles, to heat with electric. And there's also potential for growth, mostly in South Hingham, for up to 7.5 megawatts of additional development down there. So, by 2030, our system could see, could grow to 80 megawatts to 90 megawatts. We have firm capacity right now at Hobart Street of 80 megawatts. So in just, in less than 10 years, we could see that station at its max and be looking for additional capacity there. So it's a 115,000 volt transmission line from Weymouth to Hingham. It's approximately 3.7 miles, although we haven't finalized on the route yet. We have an idea of the route that we're going to take. We're working with Weymouth there. EverSource will own and operate the station, the tap station, which will be on the right of way in Weymouth. So they'll build that, they'll pay for that. And eventually we pay for it. The new substation in Hingham will be at the transfer station. Again, as you come out of the transfer station on the right-hand side in that hill, it'll be an enclosed station. So there will be a building there that contains, the switchgear and things. So again, the substation will include circuit breakers. There'll be bus work. There'll be protection and communication equipment, and that'll all be in an enclosed building. The new site for the station will also have additional room to accommodate a transformer as our growth warrants. So as the growth increases, we'll be looking to put a transformer in at that substation. We estimate the cost to be between 55 and 60 million. That includes all the permitting and contingency costs. The project costs are project cost estimates are going to be refined prior to the 2022 meeting, but HMLP is committed to reducing those costs as to the lowest possible extent and to bring this project in at the lowest possible cost.
I'm pressing the button.
Yeah, want me to try? Oh, I don't have that.
There we go.
So site and route selection, I'm going to turn this over to Tracy Adamski from Tie and Bond, and she'll go through these slides.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you everyone for your time and interest this evening. So starting with site and route selection, there's a number of goals that we start with. And I'll say first and foremost, this is a system reliability project. So geographically, we're looking at, what is the most reliable solution for the HMLP system. But the goal is to look at a range of sites and route alternatives that are geographically diverse, so that we're not just looking at the same route, but we're actually looking at a fair number of both sites for the substation and different routes to connect us back to the grid. We've identified appropriate criteria and make sure that those are applied uniformly and fairly, looking at all of the different aspects of the project. The goal is to minimize construction and environmental impacts, as well as system costs, ensure the system reliability, and also take into account community benefits and environmental justice objectives of the regulations that we're working with. Next slide, please. So the substation site selection has been completed. The process began in earnest in 2018, and it started off looking at a number of different locations within Hingham. So the first was, first here is North Hingham near the shipyard. And that one fell off the list due to extensive and costly upgrades that are required at this location to integrate this location into the HMLP distribution system and to provide redundancy with the existing Hobart station. In addition, there are some significant constructability concerns related to a number of bridge crossings, river crossings, and its proximity to railroad lines. South Hingham was another location that was assessed, and this was in proximity to the industrial park. And this location required extensive upgrades to the national grid transmission infrastructure to the tune of about $18 million. And that was even before HMLP would, or HMLP's upgrades for their substation and their system. So that was just to make the grid system, ready to accept this interconnection. So with those additional costs and other significant upgrades that were required for this system, this site fell off. 308 Cushing Street, which is the former HMLP facility, was also assessed. In order to tie into Cushing Street and bring Cushing, so to tie Cushing Street into the grid and then also tie Cushing Street back to Hobart's substation, would have required an additional approximately 7 miles of transmission line, which would have had a considerable additional cost for the system. There's some concerns with how much space there is in the roadways to install the additional lines that would be needed within Cushing Street. And so, due to the costs and the constructability concerns, this site was also not preferred. And so the preferred site ended up being near the existing Hobart substation. And the benefits there are from an overall reliability standpoint, these two substations can connect into each other, and it gives HMLP, more flexibility with managing its system, having these two substations close to each other. So next slide, please.
Okay. Hell yeah. Sorry, Tracy.
Oh, no worries.
I'm not sure why it's not. Okay.
Okay. Great. Thank you. So because HMLP is a municipal light department, we focused on town-owned sites that were within the vicinity of the existing Hobart substation. So off the bat, we eliminated open space parcels. So those are parcels that are subject to Article 97 of the amendments to our state constitution, which have some really specific protections for open space properties because they serve such an important function. So we did not look at open space properties for the siting of this substation. There's 10 sites that we did look at that were, including the transfer station, that were close to Hobart Street. And we had an initial selection of a small triangular parcel near Hobart and near the transfer station, but there's a lot of community feedback and concerns with respect to that particular site. So we went and reevaluated siting options, and with support from the select board, we took a second look at the DPW transfer station site and were able to find a small area that's not developed and has just enough space for what we're looking for a substation. And so we've confirmed that that is the preferred site for the substation in Hobart. On the route selection, as Tom had mentioned, we're looking at a number of different routes to tie our new substation into the grid in Weymouth and working with Weymouth to do more community outreach in the near future. So here's the location of the proposed substation site. So as you can see on this map, Hobart Street is at the top of the map. That grayish green coloring is the limits of the existing Hingham transfer station. So our substation is right, or the proposed substation is at the exit of the transfer station. Go to the next slide. We'll like keep zooming you in here. So the outlines that you see on the right-hand side of the slide show where the proposed substation is going. So we're looking at siting this outside of the operations of the existing transfer station. You can see there's a lot of dashed lines here. Those are buffer zones to the wetlands that are highlighted in green and blue to the top left of this image. And so, we're staying outside of the 50-foot buffer zone for the wetland resources. We'll be within the 100-foot buffer zone, but we can work with Conservation Commission on those permitting requirements. And you can see the different features of the substation. The red outline will be the actual building that Tom had mentioned, as this substation will be an enclosed substation. And if we go to the next slide, we have a rendering to give you a sense of what this would look like. So again, the majority of the components of the facility will be in the building, which is depicted on the left side of this picture. And then there'll be some additional switchgear and transformer over to the right-hand side. So here are some key project milestones. We're continuing with these community meetings. We held one in October. There's this evening's meeting, and if folks have additional questions and there's a need, we'll have another meeting in January. We're looking to have this project up at the Hingham Town Meeting to get a vote to acquire the portion of the transfer station for this electric substation, as well as borrowing for the full project, as Tom had noted. We're going to be continuing the dialogue with Hingham residents and businesses, as well as outreach within Weymouth throughout this year and next. And then we'll be looking to start filing our state and local permits and approvals in 2022, probably like summer and the end of 2022 and into 2023, with construction, testing, and operation in the 2024-2026 timeframe. And there's a number of permits and approvals that this project will need, which I'll have public outreach and opportunities to be involved. So there's the Energy Facility Siting Board, which Rob will discuss in more detail in a few minutes, that covers a really broad range of environmental and other impacts and mitigation for the project. Massachusetts Environmental Policy Act is again a similar program that has a pretty broad umbrella of topics that are reviewed under that program. Be looking at Hingham and Weymouth zoning and site, which includes site plan approval, and we'll be in front of the Conservation Commissions in both Hingham and Weymouth for work within buffer zones to resource areas and other approvals as needed. And with that, I'll turn it over to Rob to talk some more about the specifics of the Energy Facility Siting Board.
Thank you. Thank you, Tracy. And thank you and everybody, and good evening. As Tracy pointed out, I'm going to spend a little time discussing the process of the state's Energy Facilities Siting Board. Siting Board is a 9-member state agency, and by statute, the Siting Board is charged with providing reliable energy supply for the Commonwealth with a minimum impact on the environment at the lowest possible cost. All of the state and local permits, of course, are important, but the Siting Board permit approval process is unique because it covers that broad range of issues, starting with need, but also including reliability, project cost, and environmental impacts, which comprise both environmental and construction impacts. It's a 9-member state agency. The chair of the agency is the Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs. Also sitting on the Siting Board is the Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Protection, the Commissioner of the Department of Energy Resources, 2 commissioners from the Department of Public Utilities, the Secretary of Housing and Economic Development, and 3 public members appointed by the governor. One with expertise in labor issues, one with expertise on energy issues, and one with expertise on environmental issues. The Siting Board reviews major energy facilities. What is a major energy facility? Well, in terms of generation facilities, those are power plants that are 100 megawatts or more. In terms of new transmission lines, those are lines that are 69 kilovolts or greater and 1 mile or longer. And the Siting Board also looks at large intrastate gas pipelines. HMLP's proposed underground 115 transmission line is greater than a mile, so that's subject to the Siting Board's jurisdiction, along with the substation that HMLP proposes to construct and operate at the transfer station. Both of those parts of the overall facility will be reviewed by the Siting Board. Importantly, no other state approval or permit can be issued until the Siting Board approves any applicant's petition. And as Tracy pointed out, among our permits is the Siting Board permit, and we hope to submit that petition to the Siting Board in the spring, probably the late spring of 2022 after town meeting. Can we go to the next slide, please? What does the Siting Board look like? Well, the Siting Board looks at 5 key questions, regardless of what kind of facility is being proposed. The first question is whether additional energy resources are needed. In this case, HMLP needs some additional energy resources to address the vulnerability and reliability it faces because of its transmission line setup. Second, assuming you can establish for the Siting Board that these new energy resources are required, you then have to show the Siting Board that your proposed project, in this case, a proposed transmission line, is superior to other alternatives to meeting that need in terms of reliability, cost, and environmental impacts. Third, the Siting Board requires petitioner to prove that they've considered a reasonable range of practical facility siting alternatives. Next slide. The fourth question is whether the environmental impacts of the project have been minimized. And does the project importantly achieve an appropriate balance among different environmental concerns, as well as a balance among the environmental impacts, project cost, and reliability? And finally, are the project plans of the petitioner consistent with the current state policies on health, environmental protection, and resource use and development? And there will be key to show that the proposal is consistent with the various climate acts that have been enacted by the Massachusetts legislature in recent years. Next screen. One of the reasons, again, we're talking about the Siting Board is because it's a comprehensive process. It's an 18 to 24 month process. It's a process that will include public hearings in the affected municipalities in Weymouth and Hingham, likely in both. It's an evidentiary review, which means that witnesses are questioned by staff and by any interveners in the case, and volumes and volumes of documents are required to establish that, in fact, a proposal meets those Siting Board requirements. Here is a list of the things that the Siting Board looks at. The Siting Board, again, as we talked about, requires establishment of project need, looking at evidence in that regard. They look at project alternatives. If you're proposing a transmission line, Can you do that without a transmission line? Can you do it through distributed generation or some combination of distributed generation, energy efficiency, and other options? And then the siting board looks at project costs to make sure the costs are reasonable and are appropriately documented. In terms of the proposed route, it's every proponent is required to provide both a preferred route and an alternative route. And the siting board requires the applicant to show that their preferred route is better in terms of balancing costs, environmental impacts, and reliability. And finally, so there's a long list of environmental and construction impacts that the siting board looks at. It's different, obviously, based on the type of case, but you can always count on the siting board looking at noise, traffic impacts, air impacts, if any, a host of water impacts, wetlands, water resources, and stormwater, the visual impacts of a proposal, the historical, archaeological, and cultural impacts of proposal, the magnetic fields associated with the transmission line, land use, zoning-related impacts, safety, and any use of and any impacts associated with hazardous and solid waste. And I think that ends my portion.
Slide here is we'd like everybody to know about the website for our project, which has the URL of HEIRP.com, Hingham Electrical Infrastructure Reliability Project. And we invite you to look at the website, and there is a place for feedback. And if you have any questions about the project at all, you can go onto the website and look at the feedback page and submit a question. The email comes right to me, and I distribute it to members of the project team. And with that, the PowerPoint is over. And I'm trying to figure out how to get back to the participants. There is a way to ask questions by raising your hand on the app, or you can ask a question in the chat. And so I have the chat on the screen. Are there any questions? Would anybody like to ask a question?
Maybe if I unmute everyone, Joe, we can.
Yeah, I go ahead and do that, Tom. That's probably the best thing to do. And the only reason that we muted everybody was to minimize the potential for feedback or extraneous noise coming through and hitting everybody. But go ahead and unmute everybody.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to unmute, but anyone who wants can unmute themselves at this point. I should be able to anyway. Rob, can you unmute yourself? Or is it still asking for me to do that? Okay.
Ask all to unmute. I just did that.
Okay.
And allow. Mm-hmm. All right, I think we're getting to the point where people can ask questions now. So if you have a question, please speak up and we'll do our best to answer.
Questions here?
All right.
No questions? No one? We can't answer.
Can't entice questions. You to ask a question?
I would just like to make a comment. I'm a Linden Palms resident. I trained originally as electrical engineer. I found this presentation excellent. And as a result, I have no questions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr.
Sometimes it's just good to say thank you very much and get out of Dodge.
There you go.
Well, we want to make sure that, you know, we had some questions of the October presentation, and, you know, we would be remiss if we did not give everybody the opportunity to ask a question. And because this is being recorded, and I think we're going to submit this to the local television network that will make this available on a broader basis.
We'll also have this on our website if anyone wants to look at it, or if you know of anyone who wants to see it at some point, it will be on our website.
Okay.
All right. Well, given that we don't have any questions, I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight and joining us. And Jack, thank you for supporting us on this project. And again, if the website's available, if you have questions, please visit there. You can leave, you know, you can put your questions in there, and we will definitely get back to you. And if you anything else, you know, feel free to reach out to us at HMLP also. So.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Well, thank you, Tom, and thank you, Tracy, and Rob, and of course, Jack. And we appreciate everyone spending some time with us tonight to hear about this project. And we look forward to your future feedback.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
All right. Thanks.